Good morning. As Tad mentioned, we are going to talk this morning about trust and exactly what that means for us. And we know many of these passages we've talked about before, and yet still we oftentimes struggle with the whole idea about trust and how that affects our relationship with God. Because it's not just saying that I trust in God. It is also acknowledging the fact that if I trust in Him, then I trust in everything that He has done. And I trust in everything that He has ordained. But oftentimes we don't do that. We don't see it that way. And so the challenge I would issue to you today and this week is that if you will write down these passages, and every morning of the coming week, read the passages. I believe what you're going to discover is that it's going to give you a new appreciation for trusting God and what He has done for us. Proverbs 3 and verses 5 through 8, which is a passage that we have looked at before. The writer says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That's totally and completely. And lean not on your own understanding. You know, don't rock back and just lean on everything that you think that you know, which in reality you probably do not know. But when you abandon what God has said, then you're opening the door for things to creep in that are going to affect your relationship with God. Verse 6 says, in all of your ways, I would circle the word all, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge who? Acknowledge Jehovah, and not acknowledge God is for who He is. And He, once you do that, He is going to direct your paths. You must allow Him to do that. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't, in other words, don't think that your wisdom or man's wisdom is good enough. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's not, I mean, there's two things there that go together. We have to fear the Lord and at the same time depart from evil. It makes us more grounded in the truth. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, an acknowledgement. Jeremiah says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not within me, neither is it within you. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. God intends for us to listen to Him and to allow Him to direct our paths and to direct the steps that we take. Not some philosopher somewhere, but God Himself will do that. In the 37th Psalm, in verses 3 and 4, trust in the Lord. And it's interesting that when you, in most of these passages, when you see trust in the Lord, there's always a caveat or something that comes with it. In this instance, trust in the Lord and do good. We can't just trust in the Lord and say that I'm trusting in the Lord, but we have to trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness to acknowledge that He Himself was not slack concerning His promises. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. You see, if you're trusting in the Lord and not leaning on your own understanding, then your desires of your heart are going to coincide with that. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." God has promised to take care of us if we will but seek him. Oftentimes we fail to seek him. In Jeremiah 29, beginning in verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." This is God, what God's plan is for us. Verse 12 says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart." When you search for me with all of your heart. There's a requirement in all of this for us to keep seeking God. Seeking God is not a one-time thing, but it is a continuous way of life. Continuing to seek him. And if we do that, then he will acknowledge us. He will take care of us. In Isaiah 26 and verses 3 and 4, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yahweh, the Lord is everlasting strength." Trust in the Lord. And there are good things that happen when we trust in the Lord. And not only when we, and trusting in the Lord, as we said in the beginning, requires that we understand what God's plan is and that we acknowledge the fact that he knows better than we do. And when we decide to abandon that, then we are really abandoning God and his power to accomplish what he wants to accomplish for us. In the 9th Psalm and verse 10, says, "And those who know your name," that is Jehovah, "those that know your name, they will put their trust in you." Two things. We have to know God, and we do that by knowing his name. And once we do that and we understand the import of that, we know your, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. "For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Not forsaken those who seek you. In the 56th Psalm, verse 3, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. In God, I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? I trust in the Lord. I trust in him always." And one of the ways we do that is that we praise him. We acknowledge who he is and what he has done. And we do it without fear. Because God loves us and he will always keep his promise and what he has said for us. So whenever you are afraid, do you turn to God? Do you trust in Him to accomplish His purposes that He has in store for you? Because He has a plan and He has a hope for us. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. Once again, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Blessed is this man. For God will use him to accomplish his purposes. Then in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All the mundane things of life, the necessities of life that Jesus has been talking about until he gets to this verse. And he says, seek his kingdom. And it's an ongoing seeking. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be yours. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. So if you will turn back to the book of Genesis, so we trust in what God has ordained, and we do that by trusting in what God has planned for us. And it's interesting, when you go back to the very beginning, you see the seeds and you see the root of everything that God has in store for us, that we read about who he is and what he's done for us all the way through the Bible. So in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, God blessed man and woman, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. This is God's plan, not man's plan. This is God's plan, to be fruitful and to multiply. In Genesis chapter 2, and verse 15, the concept of work is introduced. All of this goes all the way back to the beginning. This is what God has ordained. This is what God has created. Genesis 2 and verse 15 says, and Jehovah God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, to work. In Genesis 2 and verse 2, it says this. It says, and on the seventh day God finished his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Rest. Sometimes we don't think about how important rest is. But on the seventh day God rested. The concept is introduced for us. The implication is that you work on the 6 days. Prior to that, the seventh day that you rest from your toil and from your labor. In Genesis 2 and verse 18, God loves his creation. He loves people. So in verse 18, what he's saying is that it is not good for man to be alone. Verse 18, and Jehovah God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. There's a concept here of community, which we'll look at in a minute. There's the idea that man needs what God has provided for him. In Genesis 2 and verses 24 and 25, God introduces the idea of marriage. Therefore, he says, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. God created this relationship. It is God ordained. So we should, and the idea is in all of these things, these are things that God has ordained. We should never shrink back from doing this and accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. In Genesis 3 and verse 2, there's the idea of law or rule that we see. Genesis 3 and verse 2. Well, we'll start with verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which Jehovah God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, Of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die." The idea of rule. The idea of law enters in. Now, what man was created with, he was created with free will. To be able to choose whatever path. The Bible tells us to trust in the Lord. You choose to do that. But God didn't leave us dangling. In Genesis 3 and verse 15, we have the first inkling of hope that God has provided for man when he makes foolish decisions. Verse 15 says, "And I will put enmity," this is after they have violated God's command, "and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy pain in childbearing." He tells the man that he is going to have to toil, and the toiling will be harder because of his violation. But when he says in verse 15, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed," and we understand from the book of Galatians that the seed is what? Christ. This is the hope that we have. This is God's idea of providing hope for us. In Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, the idea of worship is introduced. Genesis chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1. It says, "And man knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man with the help of Jehovah. And again she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering before Jehovah." Worship. Acknowledging God as God. "And Abel he also brought from the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect." So the rule of worship and how we approach God, we understand from reading this that God had instructed them about it. God's not ever going to hold us accountable for something he's not told us about. So we worship according to the way that God said that we should worship. In chapter 4 and verse 9, chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, "And Jehovah said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, the implication is, of course, yes, you are. My brother, family, children. This is all a part of God's plan. This is all ordained of God. chapter 4 and verse 14. For in verse 14, it says, "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the ground, and from thy face shall I hide. And I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and it will come to pass that whoever findeth me, they are going to slay me." Rule and government, law. And Jehovah is the one that introduced consequences for choices that we make. But in chapter 4 and verse 15, what happened was Jehovah said unto him, "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Jehovah appointed a sign for Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." God is merciful. Throughout everything that is said in these first few chapters of Genesis, we get the concept of mercy. That's a part of the very nature of who God is. Chapter 1 in Genesis in verse 31. God saw everything. God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. His creation, everything that is ordained of God, God said, "This is good." Not only good, but very good. Because it came from the Creator. So it's up to us to trust in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord means that I'm going to trust in God's plan for salvation. This is God's plan, mind you. It's not mine. But when we trust in the Lord, we trust in that plan. When we trust in the Lord, we trust in the idea of forgiveness and what exactly that means. When we come to God, we understand about forgiveness with reference to God and with reference to one another as well. This is God's idea about how it works. We trust in the Lord, so we trust in God's plan for marriage and for families. This is God's idea. When you do this, this is a fulfillment of God's plan. We don't abandon the concepts that God has given to us because we know of some instance in which somebody or some group of people, you know, have failed to keep what God has said. Sometimes we place our trust in man. We ought to be putting our trust in God and then carrying it out by the way that we treat each other. We trust in the Lord. We understand then about God's plan for the church, the pattern that he has given us. This is God's plan. It is not man's plan. So if we trust in the Lord, then we are going to trust in all of those things that are ordained of God. It goes without saying, it's a given that we would do that. God has, always has, our best interest at heart. This is God's plan. So the question is, do you trust in the Lord? Do you trust God? Do you trust him well enough and strongly enough to just go ahead and acknowledge what God has said and live the way he would want us to live? I have to make that choice every day. You have to make that choice every day. God loves us. He sent his son to die for us. Through Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. This is all part of God's plan. So when we go back to the beginning, look and see what God has said for us. We should never be afraid of God's plan or doing what God has ordained. It's God's. Our responsibility is to know His will, to do His will, to trust in Him with all of our heart, and not to lean on our understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, then, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. It's what God has said to us. So where do you stand between you and God? Where do you rest your hat, so to speak? Trust in the Lord. It's what God wants us to do, and He's asked us to do, is to trust Him with all of our heart. Not to trust in men, but to trust in God. Always go back and compare how you're living to what God said. Always do that. Every day of your life, do that. And you can't go wrong trusting in the Lord. We mentioned earlier that part of God's plan is trusting about salvation and what He says about salvation and how He says that salvation is accomplished. That's belief on the Lord. Believe on Jesus. That's God's plan. That was His plan from the beginning. In fact, His idea of redeeming mankind came before He ever created. So I would leave you with this passage. If you will turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. This is how much God loves us. This is how much God has planned for us. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, even as He chose us in Him," that's Jesus, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before Him in love." Before the foundation of the world, God had a plan. God decided He was going to redeem mankind. That's how much God loves you. That's how much He loves us. How much He loves me. Enough to think about my salvation before He created. What a wonderful God that we have. This morning, if you're not a child of God, then the blessings that we have, that Paul talks about in Ephesians, are not ours. But they are ours to be had when we surrender ourselves to the will of the Lord. Invitation song we're going to sing is "I Surrender All." All. Not part of it, but "I surrender all of my heart." It is with my whole heart that I serve Him. With my whole heart, I choose to trust in God's ordained plan for us. He says that if you want to be saved, there's a plan for that, and it's going through Jesus. No one can come to the Father but by me, Jesus said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. So where do you stand before God? If you haven't been baptized, think seriously about your state before God. And as a child of God, if you're struggling and you need us to pray with you or for you, won't you come as we stand and sing?